This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. From playing musical instruments to painting and performing on stage, the experience of learning while creating art can be a valuable part of a person's education. Neuroscience research demonstrates the impressive impact of arts education and instruction on students' cognitive, social, and emotional development. However, more schools are either cutting back or eliminating their fine arts curriculum, largely due to funding deficits. How are students showing their creative side, and what are ways that arts programs are coping? Why is music important to youth development? What is the state of art in education in Texas schools? And tell us your story. How did art education inspire you in your journey into success? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Email us at The Source at tpr.org and tweet at us at tprsource. We're joined this hour by Rod Rubo. He is the CEO and president of the Arts Fund San Antonio, Sarah Chapman, executive director of the Texas Art Education Association, and J.D. Yanda is the president of the Texas Music Administrators Conference. Now, Rod, thanks for coming in here. I appreciate it today. Tell me about the Arts Fund San Antonio and your special project for art education.
Well, the Arts Fund is sponsor of San Antonio Wolf Trap Early Learning Through the Arts. It's a program that we took 2 years to achieve as an affiliate of the Wolf Trap Education Institute, which is located in Virginia. And simply what we do is we recruit local professional performing artists. We train them in the Wolf Trap teaching method, and then we put them in the classroom with the classroom teacher for 8 weeks over 2-3 weeks, 2 to 3 sessions a week. And these professional artists, we call them teaching artists, work in collaboration with the classroom teacher, developing arts-infused teaching strategies for pre-K primarily. That's where we're focused now, but eventually K and 1. Well, as we advance, we have been doing this for 2 years now, and at the end of this school year, 17-18, we will have done 71 of these residencies in the greater San Antonio area.
Wolf Trap, that sounds...
Yeah, I know.
It sounds, you know, come on, you typically you don't think of a wolf trap as being a good thing, but I mean, how did y'all come? I know this is a national program.
Correct.
You didn't come up with the name, but
no.
What does it mean?
Well, Wolf Trap is a performing facility. It's was established in the late 60s in Vienna, Virginia. It's like Blossom and other outdoor performing facilities, and they saw a great opportunity in the early 80s to take all this wonderful arts that they had been presenting in that area at this venue and finding a way to utilize it in the classroom. So they sort of started the Early Learning for the Arts program in 1980-81. We became aware of it. San Antonio became aware of it through our partnership at Pre-K for SA, and we started working to become an affiliate. And like I said, it took us about 2 years to get there. And then we began working in local ISDs. And I guess as of, again, this school year, we will have been in 11 of those.
So it's a growing program.
Yes.
All right. And so let's go to Sarah Chapman, Executive Director of the Texas Art Education Association. So, Sarah, can you tell me more about where we are in Texas with the TEA, the Texas Education Agency, with the requirements for fine arts education in our ISDs?
Well, we do have, across our state, of course, fine arts required law curriculum that we all try to work toward in our schools. And it's good to hear that Rob's program, Wolf Trap, is working to help supplement the regular classroom art teachers, music teachers in our elementaries, because the more art they can have, of course, the better. We work very diligently through our association to promote the what we call the TEX, Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills, and we train teachers through CEDFA, Center for Educator Development, and through our individual conferences that we have during the year to train these teachers in the text and the appropriate things that they should be teaching at the elementary, intermediate, middle school, and high school. We feel like that is a very strong program, and we are very fortunate in Texas in that our associations all work together. In other words, the Art, Music, Theater, and Dance Associations work very tightly together through CEDPA and through just state association activities to keep the curriculum very strong and to keep all of the any sort of issues that come up through the state agency, the educational agency, or through the legislative system. We work tight with that. And then we also work with community groups, such as Rob has, to help supplement and make our fine arts program stronger in the state. And very few other states do this. So we feel like we are very fortunate. Consequently, our associations are much larger. We have many more teachers that belong, and when you have teachers that belong and are being trained, they also, that affects the school and the children, of course. It ripples down to what happens in that classroom every day in the art room, the music room, the theater room, or the dance rooms. So we feel like we are very fortunate, and we are very strong, much stronger than many of the other states in the United States.
Right. So the TEA, the Texas Education Agency, it says that school districts that offer kindergarten through grade 12 must offer an enrichment curriculum that includes fine arts, and that school districts must ensure that sufficient time is provided for teachers to teach and for students to learn all the required learning standards, including fine arts. So J.D. Yanda, with the president of the Texas Music Administrators Conference, can you talk about how you see this requirement happening in the field, actually in the classroom?
Sure. At the elementary level, there's not a specific time requirement or a specific course requirement as we have in our middle schools and our high schools in the state. So at the elementary level, it's up to local school districts to decide exactly how they want the fine arts curriculum delivered to the students in that school. But again, the verbiage that you used about time for learning and time for teaching, every school in our state is required to provide time for that to happen. And that's essentially from grades kindergarten through grade 5. Then TEA is very specific about our middle school requirements, grades 6 through 8. Every student must have one full TEKS-based year-long course in the fine arts. And there's some limitations for some of our smaller school districts on what content that could be. But typically music, art, and in some cases theater for the smaller districts, but all four of the fine arts disciplines for larger school districts. So there's one TEKS-based fine arts course taught to grades 6, 7, and 8 that's required. And then at the high school level, depending on the endorsement track that a student takes and what discipline they're pursuing, even in the balanced curriculum, everyone is required to take one fine arts course, but the endorsements that are being offered, give students the opportunity to take additional fine arts. So every student in Texas is required to take a fine arts course in high school, every student is required to take a fine arts course in junior high, and then every student in every district is required to provide ample time for learning in the arts in grades K through 5.
Right, so the requirements are there. It's interesting to see how it actually rolls out on campus and what the options are, and how much support these get, and how much resources are allowed for these courses, because we know that school districts are facing all sorts of crunches. One of them is time crunch. They have to deal with only a certain number of hours, and they're trying to get kids to pass the standardized test, and there's a money crunch and faculty and all sorts of issues. We'll try and talk more about that. The number to call in if you got a question or a comment about arts teaching, fine arts teaching in our public schools, number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Brad is on the line. Brad, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Yeah, I wanted to make a point just about my personal experience having been exposed to theater in high school. I feel like it really helped me blossom as a student because it allowed me the opportunity not only to empathize with the characters that we were exposed to, but to learn language skills, to be able to learn history because you had to understand the context of the play that you were in. It helped build confidence because you were in front of people and you were presenting something. So I feel like the arts is a kind of encompassing opportunity that students have to really learn, to apply a lot of the things that they learn in the classroom. And I think I'm very excited about the things that the state of Texas is doing. And I just think more of those things will help students be better critical thinkers and just better, well-rounded emotional people. So really, really excited to see that continue and hopefully grow, because arts, I think, are essential to humanity and education.
Brad, thank you for the call. Appreciate your insights. Some good ones there. And Robin is on the line. Robin, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. And first, I wanted to greet Rod Rubo. I'm Olivia's mom. You remember Olivia, the violinist you would take around for your fundraising about 5 years ago. And I wanted to encourage all the educators for fine arts to see what you can do from your end to incorporate homeschoolers into your community. We do pay taxes. We pay property taxes toward the public school system, and we are left out almost completely from all of what you're talking about. And it's really sad. We have to rely on simply the community choirs, the community orchestras. And while those are wonderful, I think that engaging and incorporating homeschoolers into your programs might be beneficial for everybody.
All right. So let's find out about that. Robin, thank you for the call. And not just homeschoolers, but there are kids in some private schools that they don't have access to those programs as well. And so how do we make sure that they are included? Sarah Chapman?
We offer through our, not necessarily through the teaching of, but we include any homeschool child or any private parochial school. We include them in any kind of competitions or art events that we do. They are a natural part of our program. And they are on our list. We call and contact them. We work with them through our regional directors. And that is a huge part of it now.
Let me ask Robin a question since she's still on the line. Robin, are you there?
Okay.
Robin?
Here I am.
Okay.
Yes.
So have y'all tried to access some of the regional schools' music programs and had no success, or what happened?
Well, it depends. My daughter Olivia, a violinist, was unable to get anybody to sponsor her toward any auditions, and that was about 5 years ago, and that was really, really sad. She was a part of YOSA. We had access to lots of teachers in the community, and they just frankly said no. My second daughter is a vocalist, and she found great support through a summer camp that the San Antonio Chamber Choir does called All State for All. There she met some educators who also invited her to come into their clinics, and she was able to prepare and be sponsored 2 years in a row for an audition, and I thought that was great. So I don't know why it's not more encouraged in the other disciplines, but I would like to see some policy that just took the subjectivity out of the hands of the educators.
So are you seeing improvements then, Robin? Since it sounds like you are.
Well, I don't have a violinist anymore, so I can't speak to the orchestral community if they are more supported than they were 5 years ago.
Let me ask J.D. Yenda what his take on this is.
Right, and she brings up a great point, Robin, and I appreciate the call. That's the Texas Music Educators Association, and what she was describing was the all-state audition process for a vocalist child, and the same applies, the same policy applies for TMEA string auditions and wind auditions for the all-state process. And finding a sponsor for our students, our homeschool students, and sometimes our private school students as well, shouldn't be as difficult as she was describing, especially with in a vibrant community like San Antonio, finding a sponsor that would be willing to enter a child into that all-state process. So I'm a little disappointed to hear that happened at that time, but typically, if there is a private teacher or a community outreach group, the great community orchestras that you have in San Antonio, finding a private teacher and or a conductor of one of those groups to sponsor, I think is absolutely what should have been done. And I really regret that somebody didn't pick that up at that time, because that's very typical. The idea of what she described for her vocalist child is very typical for our string players and our wind players that are homeschooled around the state.
So, JD, let me ask you about what's happening to student orchestras across the state. Are they growing? Are they contracting? Is there a trend?
Well, if we're talking about community groups and groups that are not necessarily associated with our public school system, I would say that we're staying pretty flat in the last, 5 to 10 years about participation in those sorts of groups. I was fortunate enough to be involved in the Georgetown area when I was the director of fine arts in Georgetown ISD to have a youth orchestra, and the youth orchestra programs around the state, especially closer to our big cities, are fairly common and are growing. There's youth choirs, there's community choirs, and many of those in the Houston area where I am now are growing and vibrant. But we've seen the decline of some of those groups as well, that not all of them have been able to survive. Sometimes it's a lack of funding. Sometimes, it's a lack of participation from our school sponsors and those sorts of things. And finding facilities sometimes are very difficult for those community groups to continue.
The ISDs? What's happening with them?
Oh, as far as participation in the fine arts, it's very strong and continues to be strong. As Sarah described earlier, we are very blessed in Texas to have community support for the arts, and most of our communities and our patrons in the community are encouraging their school boards and their local school systems to support the arts, and I feel really good about that. It's not universal, though. There are certainly some pockets where programs have declined. We've seen some programs eliminated in our public schools, but that's more an exception than a norm in Texas.
Okay, we'll talk more about that when we come back from this break. Our phone lines are open, 210-614-8980. We do have to pause for a pledge drive, so we'll be doing that for the next 6 minutes. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back after that. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. A lot of attention being paid to STEM education programs these days. Those are the science and math type issues, and that's important. But some people say STEM, let's talk about STEAM. We got to make sure that arts is included in these special programs. Because when you add art to the entire mix, things really get hot, and we can actually generate some power here, because we know that when you teach art, you excite the brain, you get part of the brain is going that normally doesn't go, and you can get some great ideas going. What about art in your education, and what role did it play in your success? Give us a call. We want to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980. Particularly want to make sure or hear about what's happening when our public schools make sure that art is actually being taught there, because that's the law. That's what's being laid out by the TEA, the Texas Education Agency. We're joined by Rod Rubo. He is the CEO and president of the Art Fund San Antonio. Sarah Chapman, executive director of the Texas Art Education Association. J.D. Yonda is the president of the Texas Music Administrators Conference. And so, Rod, can you tell me more about Wolf Trap? How did this come about? What need did y'all see had to be filled?
Well, when we did our research to bring Wolf Trap to San Antonio, we didn't see it duplicated in any other arts organization. We like the fact that it involved our local performing artists in music and dance and theater and puppetry. We even have storytellers. And so it provides additional income from them when they're in the classroom. They're paid a fee for this. We love the national studies that were done that showed us that pre-K, you get a child, 4 or 5 year old, their brain, they're just so ready to learn. So why not? I mean, and we see our state and locally lots of growth in that area. So we thought this would be a perfect place for us to put our energies. And it's worked out great. We have our evaluations from our classroom teachers have been wonderful. The reactions from our teaching artists have been wonderful. You know, we call it San Antonio Wolf Trap because early learning through the arts, you know, it takes so long to say it, but it's great. It is early learning. And when you see this in these young students, it's just marvelous. They don't forget. They utilize every aspect of the arts when they're we're literacy-based, so we start usually with the teacher's book or what they're reading. So imagine, you know, you can read a book, that's great, but imagine acting that book out or maybe singing part of that book or realizing the elements that are in that book or in a simple picture. So you talk about STEM and you talk about STEAM and the arts. Well, the arts are there. They're all of that. And so when that teaching artist works with that classroom teacher and they build those collaborative methods, you know, and we see that as adding to their toolbox, where how can we facilitate them in their curriculum? What can we help them? They all every teacher has a goal that she or he wants to achieve, and our teaching artists help them achieve that. We do lesson plans before each class. There's a debrief with that classroom teacher, so you're continually improving on that goal through that eight-week residency so that those students at the end are seeing meaningful advances in their cognitive thinking, their math skills, their leadership skills, social skills, all those things that you want to see a child, an early learner, have when they go into K and first grade and they move on. And I think nationally we're seeing those kinds of improvements. Starting early is making great improvement in making children ready. When they get to the second that they're in, those tests start coming at them, they're better prepared for it. They have some techniques that they've learned through this process. And Wolf Trap's for everybody. A whole school, we haven't had a call from a whole a homeschool group. We know there are groups and how they work, but it wouldn't be a problem. In fact, it would tie in with what we call parent involvement workshops. When we do a residency, sometimes we will do a parent involvement workshop. We'll show the parent how you can continue to utilize the arts at home with your child and build on those techniques that he or she has been picking up during that residency.
Awesome. Let me go to the caller. The number is 210-614-8980, and this is Shelley. And Shelley, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey there. I wanted to ask about arts and the ability to imagine and express yourself in non-artistic situations. I hire and work with a lot of IT people, and I can really tell the difference between people who had exposure to the arts and those who haven't in their ability to participate in the science and creativity that it takes to create IT and other scientific type of endeavors. And my question is, how can we start thinking about the arts as a minimum competency for students instead of as an extracurricular thing for early education or for really advanced kids who can go to, like, state competitions?
Shelley, thank you for the call. Let me go to Sarah Chapman, Executive Director of the Texas Art Education Association. And as we said earlier, art is part of the TEKS in Texas, which is expected to be taught in the classrooms required by the TEA, the Texas Education Agency. But, you know, we hear over and over again how this really does add so much more juice to the education experience for children. And for Shelley, it's like making sure that this is maximized or, you know, taken full advantage of.
Right. I love Shelley's question. I think it's wonderful. We, in everything we do, and I'm going to speak to specifically visual arts, but it really applies to all of the arts. Things as simple as doodling and drawing and for young children scribbling. It's absolutely a child development process that they should go through, much like crawling. And that particular thing is almost essential for children to be able to be creative and to think in terms of doing that sort of thing. Drawing, when you get into the practice of drawing at all stages, whether it's considered great drawing or doodling or whatever,
those skills that they pull up when they are doing that skill, when they are doing that particular thing, sit in the same thing in the brain where math and science sits and language arts. So it leads to being creative when they're drawing diagrams or maps or graphs or whatever that does. Observation is one of the things that we all participate in. Visual arts is very strong in it, and it makes the child examine things and look very closely and pay attention to detail and have an understanding of the world around them and look for things that are unusual. That leads to critical thinking and decision-making. When they observe, they have to. It leads to asking questions and being curious and having critical thinking moments where they can say, why is the sky blue? Why is this particular component belonging to this other component? I mean, it moves right into that, and so they see the details that others maybe just don't even take for granted. Maybe they take for granted. Spatial awareness, it leads to that. Planning and doing drafts, the whole entire motor skill issue of developing all of those both hand-eye coordinating activities that they, when they're painting or they're using scissors or they're drawing with rolling clay out or whatever, whatever those particular skills are. So those are skills that we all in some part of the arts are using. It leads to creative endeavors because as you go through those processes, you are learning those questioning strategies. You are learning to be curious about things. And it is a segue for teachers to be able to push students in different directions and to think creatively about what they're doing. If we practice that with all children as they come up young and then move into middle school and high school, pop. They are genius at it when they get to you as a hirer of applicants, you know, for children who are out there in those schools.
So let me ask J.D. Yanda about the connection between math and music. I mean, is that a myth or is that for real?
Well, on a very personal level, it's very, very real. It's the two things I do the very best. But for students, absolutely, it's certainly the case. There is an absolute connection between the way the brain processes mathematic equations and mathematic problems and the way that rhythm and pitch and harmonies interact in music. The relationships are geometric. There's no question about that. And to hop on to what Shelley was talking about, the arts, music as one of the arts, the idea that in the arts there's never just one right answer, which goes back to this whole STEAM equation too. You know, when we have just the STEM curriculum and then we add the arts, we're teaching those engineers, those future you know, computer programmers, the future scientists, that they should look for multiple answers. The creativity that we teach in the visual arts and in music and dance and theater, those things are critical to stepping back and say, well, why not? Or why does it have to be that way? And when we encourage young students particularly to say, there's more than one way to solve this problem. There's more than one way to play this phrase musically or to paint this picture. We are encouraging that creativity that students will need in the 21st and 22nd century going forward to solve whatever those technological problems are going to be. The arts are a critical piece of that. The way that math and music connect is just a small portion of what the arts can really do for our students. The connection between math and music, very real, absolutely. But the connection well beyond just math and music, between the visual arts and science, between the visual arts and language arts, there's an incredible connection, and STEAM is absolutely something that we have to take part in, and the artists of the world have to get involved in that STEM conversation.
Well, in music, songs, there's lyrics. Lyrics are poetry. I think poetry is really important for children to understand maybe their complex feelings. That leads to literary fiction as well, developing sympathies for others who want being able to walk in their shoes and develop a worldview outside of their own. All of this is very important as well. But Sarah Chapman, you know, English is something that's required. People need to learn to be able to read and write, but what are they going to read and write? They need to read and write something that has depth to it, don't they?
Absolutely. They need to be able to connect it to personal experiences and things that they have feelings about and emotions that are coming through. You know, J.D. talked about the uniqueness of the child giving their expressions and having multiple answers. Every child brings forward an individual experience, and those experiences are what we as teachers try to pull out of students when they're drawing or when they're performing some sort of dance, when they're doing any kind of movement things, when they're on the stage. They're bringing that emotion to that performance and to their music and to their art. So we that is a huge format that we try to work toward.
So we have a lot of different types of school districts in Texas, scattered all, some are very rural and struggling and trying to get by, and then we have these very nice, magnificent school districts in some of our urban areas, you know, like Northeast ISD, Northside ISD. And, you know, so what about the kids who find themselves some kids are just born, they need this, they have to have it. If they don't have it, they're lost. But they live in an area that it's just not accessible to them. Is there some sort of like a long distance learning, or are there things available to them, Sarah?
We have, and you're right, it happens more in the larger areas, the larger schools and the larger cities. We do have programs that are out in the community, much as Rob has. We also have community centers who have lots of programs available. Music has a lot of programs that are outside the public and private school venture. I don't know that we have online things other than those that you have to pay for. I don't know that we have a tremendous amount of outreach programs for rural areas. We do try to, through SEDFA, we try to train rural teachers in helping students. And, of course, we don't know always all of the programs that are available out there in their smaller communities. And there are some. Believe you me, I've talked to some folks just over the weekend that are in a rural area, and they're putting together classes for younger children.
Rod, with the CEO and president of the Arts Fund San Antonio, you guys wouldn't be doing all this work. I mean, there's a lot. You got to fundraise, you got to plan, you got to find the people, their headaches, if you didn't think this was important.
Absolutely. I think one of the keys, as our fellow speakers have been talking about, for us is all those things we talked about, the early learner taking all of those elements that the arts can give them, and improving in their math skills and cognitive thinking, all those wonderful things, and then they move on and they take them with them. They don't lose them. But the key element for one of the key elements for us in this is the classroom teacher. The professional development that they receive through this, their toolbox grows exponentially. They've got now all these other techniques. The very first thing they say, well, I'm not an artist. And we said, you don't have to be. We're just going to work with you and show you how you can come up with some great ways, either music and movement and theater games, whatever it might be. And they work these into their teaching, and then they have them forever. And they can use them with the next class and the next class. And so that continuity is very important. And where I think we see some of the most incredible response is some of the smaller districts, some of the smaller ISDs. You know, they don't have, you know, the massive amount of students, but in both cases. But there, you know, this is pretty special for them to get an opportunity to work with an artist over an 8-week period. That's a long time. So at the end, you've really got something that you can hang on to and utilize. And so we see this, and it's measurable, and, you know, that's what we do. So it makes a difference. And it's utilizing our artist in our community for our students.
And so you're going to get the local cultural input on
that
as well. And so, Sarah Chapman, the Texas Art Education Association. They say there's a connection between having art programs and reduction in dropouts and higher attendance rates and better outcomes overall for education attainment. Is that true?
That I think, and I believe it is very true, and I think probably every art teacher and arts teacher in this state would agree. Many, many, many children come to school specifically just because they have the arts classes. They don't necessarily come for math and science or math and language arts unless they just happen to have that particular niche for them. The arts provide so many things, not only the skill-driven and the curriculum-driven, but they operate as a team, and they feel like that that's their home. They have like-minded peers that they work with and a teacher who guides them. And I think that we have, in many, many cases, reduced the dropout rate, even though we don't always have statistics that say that. We know that our children come to school because they want to be there to sing or to paint or do with clay or...
And they want to come to, that they're going through, they're experiencing and they're discovering themselves through the arts. And I want to thank you so much, Sarah Chapman, Executive Director of the Texas Art and Education Association, J.D. Yanda, President of the Texas Music Administrators Conference, and Rod Rubo is the CEO and President of the Arts Fund San Antonio. And this is Texas Public Radio, The Source. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.